This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hour number three. My bad, Brian. Time flies when you're having fun. Mike Bastic with his final show in studio this morning and afternoon. I guess he's taking the next 2 days off, and then we'll reconvene in Surprise, Arizona next week. I know some of the texts continue to come in. Where is Mike going? They've only heard half the story or got bits and pieces of it, and they're wondering what the details are on that. He's just going to do television for the Texas Rangers, so he's going to be your analyst. And next week will be Bassick's final ride with us. Been full-time at The Fan for almost 12 years. He started doing stuff with us in the 2011 playoff run and the World Series there. And then, you're looking at a decade and a half of broadcast greatness coming to a conclusion all next week from 10 to 2 with the KMC Masterpiece. Tommy Yarsh been working at DallasCowboys.com doing a heck of a job, and he joins us now here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Tommy. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Appreciate you guys having me on. And I just met him at the Super Bowl, but all the best to Mike Bastic in his next chapter. Super excited for him, and he's going to keep on doing good work over there at the Rangers.
Yeah, he's just great, talking any sport, but he's got a real talent for that, talking baseball on television. So congrats to him for a dream job. Now, speaking of dream jobs, Cowboys have new coaches. Do they have enough good players to bring Clayton Adams' vision to life?
I think you could probably say that they will after the draft. I don't know about right now just because of how many unrestricted free agents that they've got, specifically at positions where, he's really looking to change this offense. I think the run game is something that you want to look at. The big question looming there, of course, is do you bring back Rico Dowdle? And if you bring back Rico Dowdle, is he your top option at running back? I think we get past the draft process, I don't think that'll be the case in terms of him being the top running back. I definitely see a scenario where he's on this roster and the Cowboys still draft a running back. But in that department right now, I don't think that they've got what they would necessarily want. And I think that's natural for a new coaching staff coming in. You're not going to have everything that you want in terms of personnel on your roster when you come in. But the good thing for guys like Clayton Adams is he's got great pieces to work with. And he was talking about that a little bit yesterday in terms of up on the offensive line. You've got, Tyler Smith, of course, at guard. He's played well. He feels pretty confident about working with Tyler Guyton, him and the new offensive line coach, Connor Riley, who came in from Kansas State. And then speaking of Kansas State, Cooper Beebe, Connor Riley was a guy who helped develop him at Kansas State, flipped him defensive line to offensive line. So pieces to work with to establish their scheme for sure. But obviously the looming question is going to be the run game.
Yeah, speaking of the run game, Tommy, you brought up Connor Riley, the offensive line coach now. How about that relationship with him and Clayton Adams? And the physicality was the word that kept being brought up. It seemed like from every coach, they just want to get more physical. They want to get tougher as a football team, which I think they've been trying to do for a few years now. But now this entire coaching staff seems like they're echoing that mentality.
Yeah, I think it's a mentality that you're always going to hear from your coaches, right? And now it's just a matter of, all right, let's show it. Let's prove it, right? Like when you look at the Cowboys offensive line last year, there were times where they just get pushed back. Not necessarily if they weren't playing physical, but they just weren't as physical as the opposing team's defensive lines. And when you're in a division where, you know, you look across at the Philadelphia Eagles and, I mean, they've got one of, if not the best defensive line in football and one of the better defensive tackles in Jalen Carter. So you've got to get up to that standard if you want to compete for a championship. So that it makes sense as to why they would think that way. As far as the relationship between Clayton Adams and Connor Riley, Adams talked about it a little bit yesterday in terms of he and Connor have never worked together, but they have talked a lot of football together. It feels like they know each other pretty well, so he's excited about the opportunity to work with him. And I feel like it's a really good pairing. They're looking for the same thing in their guys in terms of what you want to get out of the offensive line. And he was complimentary about, you know, what Riley has done on tape and what his guys have put on tape. And his players play good, is what he said. His players play good. That's what pops out on tape about Kansas State offensive linemen. And you can see that in one of the examples on this Cowboys roster in Cooper Beebe.
Hey, Tommy, when you saw that the cap was going up, did you think, oh, this is good for the Cowboys or it's going to be business as usual?
I don't know how much it changes, Brian, to be completely honest with you. I think that, you know, obviously it's more than what everybody was expecting. But at the same time, you know, this, and we've talked about this before in the past, you know, this has always been a draft and develop team, and that's primarily where they're going to go about this. I think where, you know, it comes into affecting the Cowboys potentially is, okay, does this raise the market price for free agents, guys like Oso Digizua, where, you know, you wonder if there's a number being thrown out there for per year for, you know, just to throw one out there, let's say 20, for example, does that number bump up to 25 or 22 or just higher in general? And, you know, so it kind of raises the market a little bit even before guys start signing their deals. So it's something interesting to look at, but I'm not so sure how much it affects the Cowboys just because we don't know how much they're going to do in free agency. And if it's anything like it's been in the past, you know, and it's not going to be very many moves, then, you know, that, I think that wouldn't change too much. But again, I think this is a cycle where they need to spend more in free agency in comparison to other. And I don't know if raising the cap specifically helps that case, but we'll see what kind of plan they come up with.
What do you think would be the position maybe of outside free agents that maybe they would spend a little bit more money than we're used to on?
That's a good question. It's one where it just depends where they want their experience to come from, because, you know, you look at this draft, and I know we've talked about this on the draft show with Brian and Zach, you know, the positions that they want to get early on. Is it something where do you want to draft a wide receiver in the first couple of rounds, or do you feel like you can trade for somebody and acquire somebody through free agency who's got, you know, maybe a more veteran presence that can be a compliment to CD Lamb? Is it, you know, do you re-sign Oso Digizuo, or if you miss out on him in the free agent market, is there, you know, a guy you feel like you can get similar production out of elsewhere for a lower price in the free agent market? So if I had to pick one, I would guess it'd be defensive tackle, just because, you know, you look at this draft coming up and it's a really deep defensive tackle class. So I feel like a good, you know, veteran presence in the middle of that defensive tackle would be something that's welcome. Not that the Cowboys don't have that in certain places at the moment, but if you lose a guy like Oso Digizua, then I feel like that's something in the middle of the defensive line that you're going to need, and it's something that their new defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, is going to want too.
How about Mozzie? And I know Eberflus didn't mention Mozzie yesterday. What were some of the things that he was talking about him, and do you believe he can continue the growth we saw the last really 4 to 6 weeks of the season from last year?
Well, Matt Eberflus certainly seems to think so, and I think I'm going to give him his credit for that. I think he's on to something there. He's excited about Mozzie Smith. He said he liked him coming out of the draft process and liked his explosiveness, big body type that moves really well, and, you know, he wants to bring this game to the next level. And I think there is a next level for Mozzie Smith. I know that, you know, the first 2 years of sample size hasn't necessarily shown too much of that. But like you said, Zach, he closed out the year very well in those last 4 to 6 weeks. And when a Matt Eberflus defense is playing at its best, they're stopping the run really well. And a big part of it is because those two big defensive tackles in the middle of the Bear in the defensive line. When I think back to his time with the Bears, guys like Jervon Dexter, who was, I believe, a second-round pick out of Florida, and Andrew Billings next to him, you know, they're just big guys who take up space on the defensive line. They're hard to move and, you know, and get past and strong. And those are all words that when Mozzie Smith has played at his best and when he played at Michigan, they're all words I think you could use to describe him. So I think that's a good pairing. And I think Aaron Whitecotton and Matt Eberflus together are going to be tasked with trying to bring Mozzie Smith to the next level. And that's going to be one of the things that I think is a large microscope of Matt Eberflus here in his time as defensive coordinator, is can he get the of not just Mozzie Smith, but this entire defensive line in terms of stopping the run.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. I mean, Eberflus was really good at stopping the run with the Colts, so I'm sure he's got it in his coaching acumen. But best bet for a good defense is probably just to be a takeaway defense, looking at what we have now with Micah rushing and, you know, I guess Diggs when he gets healthy and Bland?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it was David Overstreet, the corners and secondary coach, that said, you know, the best secondary is a good pass rush. And the good thing for the Cowboys is they've got that in with Micah Parsons, and we'll see what happens on the opposite side of that after this offseason. But it certainly helps that even in the secondary itself, and not just the pass rush unit, you've got two guys who have a knack for taking the ball away, and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland, of course. Trayvon Diggs, we'll see when and if he comes back at any point in the 2025 season. That's obviously going to be so much of that. But you've got some young cornerbacks in that room, too, guys like Kalen Carson. We'll see if they bring back Jordan Lewis. And I think that Matt Eberflus's track record has shown that he can get the most out of those guys in the backfield in terms of getting takeaways. And even his linebackers, too, in Chicago. I think T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds did a good job of taking the ball away over the middle. So, in that coverage system and what Matt Eberflus likes to do, the nickel typically plays very well. I think back to Kyler Gordon in Chicago. I thought he was pretty good for Eberflus over the course of those three seasons there. And then if Jordan Lewis is a guy that the Cowboys decide to bring back, I could see him continuing to flourish in an Eberflus system. But no, definitely, I think taking the ball away is going to be a big part of this defense, which will be on track for, you know, what the Cowboys have done really well in recent years under a couple different defensive coordinators.
Hey, Tommy, I know that you covered the University of Texas for a good bit, and I wanted to ask you a question because I've had people ask me, because of the running back stuff, of trying to figure out if, you know, you take a running back in the third round, second round, where are you on Jaden Blue? And there's a lot of questions about him as far as the ball security stuff. And is that really the only issues that you're dealing with Jaden Blue? Can he be a, you know, the every down back that we that a lot of us do evaluate and think he can?
I think he can, but there's definitely some validity to the ball security concerns. I think that, you know, not only did he lose the ball a lot during his time at Texas, but he sometimes lost it when you really didn't need him to. And something that I think DeShard Choice doesn't get enough credit for as a running backs coach is he was really good in terms of emphasizing the importance of ball security to his guys. When you think about Bijan Robinson and Jonathan Brooks and the guys who came before Jaden Blue, they didn't fumble the ball very often. And Jaden Blue, it was kind of an interesting spot this year where they leaned on him more and he just couldn't hold on to the ball at times. Now, that said, I'm a big fan of Jaden Blue. I think he can do a lot for you. He is unbelievably fast, and I think that's going to be such a big part of his game. He can catch the ball really well out of the backfield. When he gets in space, he was pretty lethal for Texas. And then if you use him in an outside zone concept, if he turns the corner on you and you don't set the edge, it's going to be really, really hard to bring him down in the open field. So there's a lot to like with Jaden Blue. I saw that you were a big fan of his, and you guys talked a little bit about it the other day. So there's a lot to like there. But ball security, and then can he be an every down back? Does he have the frame to be an every down back in the NFL? Can he play physical enough to play on first, second, and third down? That's going to be the other question, too.
Tommy, I was alone fighting for another one of your Texas guys, Alfred Collins, on the draft show yesterday. I love Alfred Collins in a stacked defensive tackle draft. What more can you tell us, having been around him in the Texas program as often as you were?
Yeah, so Alfred Collins, I think the biggest question for him is going to be consistency. He was a guy who was highly touted coming out of high school and a five-star prospect, and it just kind of took him some time to put it all together. He was more of a rotational guy behind some guys like Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, and, you know, this year he finally gets to step into that prominent role alongside Vernon Broughton, and you saw some really good flashes. He's great against the run. He's a massive human being. I mean, when you look at him on the field, he just towers over everybody. So there's a great frame to work with, you know, not a lot of loose muscle, or he's pretty already built into it, very strong, but can he be consistent? Can he get after the passer? I think he's a better run defender. You know, is he athletic enough to start moving his way into the backfield and get better against double teams? That would be my question with Alfred Collins. But when you've got a big body that can plug up the run as well as he does, I think there, you know, are certainly good traits about his game too.
Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. Thank you so much. And we'll catch up with you real soon.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Yeah, salute to you. Heck of a job right here. It's in his first season up there at DallasCowboys.com. Tommy Yarish, met him at the Super Bowl. And a big fan of his work, so we look forward to having him on more as this offseason continues. And free agency in a big way will be rolling out next week when we're live in Surprise. If you missed it, we'll have the play-by-play call of the Four Nations Final on The Fan tomorrow night, Canada and the USA at 7 o'clock. It's time for the top 10 at 4:20, though. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
People have spoken, and I've got a new top 10 best fast food burgers list, fresh for 2025. How many changes were there? And a joke that didn't go off so well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
That's next in the nation.
All right, welcome back, nation. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20 here on The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here he is, Zach with an H. your Woolly Bully.
Let's do this. 877-881-1053. The best fast food burger. Now, we'll get to this, and I'll tell you the criteria that Connor Toole created to rank the top 10, because this is probably it's the best criteria, knowing what counts and what doesn't count, because sometimes we'll get into some gray areas, like a Five Guys, is that a fast food burger? Shake Shack, are we counting that? Connor's going to let us know what counts and what doesn't. But I saw this, this was yesterday, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell, he did his State of the City address. I don't know how I avoided coughing right there.
I was wondering what happened.
I had a moment, and I somehow was able to, like,
cough.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Dawson eats his burps all the time, but the way you ate that cough.
How did that sound? Because it was like squeaky, and then just kind of.
It was just a little hesitation, bro.
Yeah.
Oof,
yeah.
Gosh,
that was nice.
I got a little tickle.
Almost 100% seamless.
All right, so here is Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell. You let me know if you think that this joke is funny.
Right now, at this moment, I have an announcement to make. I'm just kidding. Okay. It's a long speech. I had to break it up a little bit here.
Did he unveil something? Like, was he wearing a...
Was he trying to say they were going to get a basketball team there?
He was...
That's how I read it.
Joking as though the Seattle Supersonics were going to return to Seattle.
Yeah, that's what he's... Yeah.
Was he flashing, like, wearing a jersey or something like that? Because they clearly all start to...
I think everybody's just been waiting for the announcement.
They're all waiting for an announcement.
Wow. You don't want to play around with somebody like that.
And he pulls out an NBA ball. And he starts moving that around in his hand.
No.
And so everybody starts thinking, oh, my God, here we go. The Supersonics are coming back.
That's pretty ruthless.
No. And he's just laughing his ass off.
And I thought Nico and Rick Welts were out of touch with the locals. You don't play around with something like that.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's like getting on one knee in front of your girl and faking it.
Just kidding.
Find your shoe.
Dab.
Gosh, that's mean. Like, why are you playing with their heart like that?
I mean, from our perspective, though, can't we appreciate that? That's pretty damn hilarious. I mean,
yeah, since we're not Seattle people, but the crowd is ready to erupt.
You know you would have.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah. No, this is only from the perspective that I currently have, which is really no skins in the game.
I mean, my Sonics hate runs deep growing up in the Portland area, being a Trailblazers fan. The Sonics came after the Lakers on my hate scale. And when they moved to OKC, I still hated them just to honor the agreement. And I've secretly been rooting against them to get a team back now for better part of 20 years. So I do think it's hilarious.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pulling out the basketball like
but
that.
He's a real savage troll. This is like. He just lost my vote if I'm up there. Yeah.
For sure. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Sonics fan.
That was just a jerk move right there. Okay,
they had the worst arena, though. Like, no luxury suites. And they're like, no, we're not building you a new arena, rich man.
And now, like, all right, now they've got where the Kraken are playing, so they could. Like, theoretically, it's perfect now.
They should go there. It's like the 13th biggest market in the USA.
What are we doing? Yeah. Absolutely. Terrible. A joke gone wrong there. He thought, oh, this is going to be funny. Ooh, the reaction was very, very excited. And then it went to, what the hell are you doing? And a big congratulations to Clinton Portis. He's joined DeSean Jackson's coaching staff in college football. So he's going to be the running game coordinator there for DeSean Jackson's college team. Which, honestly, I can't remember which college that even is right now.
Cal Berkeley?
No, it's somewhere on the East Coast.
You go to Delaware State?
Is it Delaware State?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Delaware State it is. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. You saved me. I was drowning. Here are the top 10 fast food burgers per Connor Toole. All right? And I don't know. If you don't like the
list,
then you can absolutely call him a tool, and you can direct all your hate there. Now, I like what he's done. He's limiting the definition of fast food to the kind of places known for having a drive-through and relatively reasonable prices. So the likes of Five Guys and Shake Shack did not make the cut.
Especially burgers.
He's also focusing on what each chain positions as its standard cheeseburger when it comes to defining a burger. So while he's got respect for the Big Mac, a Whopper, a Baconator, offerings like those are not being taken into consideration. It's how good is your fast food, just general cheeseburger.
See, and I think that's a faulty premise in the burger evaluations. I look forward to this man's study and in his work. But I think because of that, you should really study the burger by how good the bread and the actual patty is, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody else is going to add what they want, right? So my standard cheeseburger might have tomatoes and lettuce on it and everything, but it's really going to be the bread and the patty that set it off.
Okay, so you want to go just let's plain. We're going plain. Meat, well, bun,
well, when you
and maybe
say,
some condiments.
When you say, like, what is your best fast food burger, a lot of people are going to say Whataburger. They're going to have a lot of different things in their mind. But what they're really talking about is the greatness of that patty and mm-hmm. the seasoning and the grease.
Yes.
Yeah. Like sweet and spicy bacon burger. That would yeah. be my go-to.
So, I mean, how good is your patty? Some people, they're doing weird stuff with their patty. It's got that weird irony blood flavor. You're mm-hmm. just, you're out. I don't care what kind of accessories and doctoring up you can do to that burger, you know, or how fine of a restaurant that it's at. It's not a good burger.
So I think if we were to just go like top, Whataburger would be probably most of our answers.
They're number yeah. one.
I would go Culver's. Like I've had Culver's once and it was delicious. Because Culver's kept on popping up on all these lists we would do. And so they have one over in the Colony. So that night we did, I think it was Men's Tea Clinic. We had a show out there by their Culver's location
in the
Colony.
Thanks for telling us that we could have had one.
And so afterwards, well, you know, it's just a simple Google away, Brian.
Well, you didn't say anything like, I'm thinking about going over to Culver's.
Went over to Culver's.
You know, like, anybody want to go over to Culver's? I'm going to grab a burger.
Maybe I had some reasonings for
it. It was gatekeeping.
I don't want people to know.
Yeah, he had to keep this locked up because this was one of those wife you don't know burgers.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, you know? And she was still pregnant at the time.
Parking lot burgers?
So this was I did Eric's method where I had it, pulled over, found a gas station.
How'd you keep it
stopped,
out of your beard then?
Ate it. Well, she definitely probably smelt it when I did the, hey, I'm home kiss.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What'd
yeah.
you have?
So greasy now, lips. Yeah. You got to be careful with the greasy lips.
Now you've got the, you know, the mouthwash in the car.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. You have to step your game up.
Look Trust me.
You got to be
so you roll
you
in there
sloppy.
With fresh breath and your wife knows that you've loaded up.
No, yeah, your pre-dinner.
No. He ain't rolling in there like with fresh breath after talking on the radio for 5 hours.
But see,
no.
He's buttoned up enough to put the mint stuff in even when he doesn't do the Mama Don't Know burger.
I don't
know. You make this a consistent theme to where you're knocking scent off.
Giving him way too much credit over there, bro.
I know my bully.
I think he just like gave you kind of cringe face, like he's not doing that.
So I was trying to go to bat for you there.
I've learned.
Kind of like he went for
grown.
Bat for you at the Super Bowl.
I've evolved. I did. I had your back. I said you didn't do anything wrong.
No, he didn't. He encouraged you.
I mean, yeah. I told my wife to go back and watch it so I could get in the doghouse with him. That's how deep I roll with my dude. Mm-hmm.
Double doghouse.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the issue? Is it that she's gluten free or?
Yeah, I mean, she's not able to enjoy some of the same fine delicacies that we can have.
Yeah,
She'll act like, hey, no, I get shamed.
Watch what he's doing with his daughter, though.
Give her
some brisket.
Get the damn list, because this is not going to go well for me, because she listens to this segment.
That's right. It's a damn good segment.
Give the daughter some brisket. See what she thinks.
She loved the brisket.
Yeah, so your wife can't eat it, can
she? I thought Bronis was watchdogging people.
What? He's watchdogging the hell out of me.
I'm not. I'm just pointing out that my man's trying to, like, sneak a burger in, and then he puts mouthwash in like she's not going
to
notice.
And then when I sneak it in, he gets all butthurt that I didn't invite him to sneak a burger in.
Next time I will. That part's very true.
Next time I will. Yeah. I'll let you know, like, hey, Brian,
I'm going to Culver's.
I'm doing a sneak burger. You want to join me?
I've never been. I might buy it for you.
It's true. Next. All right. That's all you had to say.
That's the best
Number
point.
10 on the top 10 fast food burger list. You're going to be happy with this. It's Burger King. Pulling up the rear.
Have it
at
your
number
way.
10. He said, while he does like the flame grilled, it really doesn't do much to enhance the flavor. He said, I also like mustard, but I've always felt Burger King goes way too heavy on that particular condiment while making ketchup a bit of an afterthought. The burgers are perfectly fine in a pinch, but I'm not going out of my way to track one down.
How old is this guy?
Yeah, really. Come on.
Old enough to have some wisdom.
There's not a face next to the name.
This guy from your generation.
Once upon a point in time, the Burger King burger was amazing. The Whopper was crazy. It was like a gourmet burger for the family. Mm-hmm. We're going to go get some Whoppers, son. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is a... Thank you, Dad.
That was a heavy bag
like
of burgers.
Wow. I do. Yeah. I'm a big Whopper fan, but I guess since
we doesn't taste the same anymore, though.
It's a burnt
It's
punk.
Lost.
Yeah, it kind of lost its luster.
Everything's probably also smaller than what it was, too.
Yeah.
We're also shrinking in size, the shrinkflation.
I think the mustard point is great, though. If it's dripping, mustard is like the condiment I don't want that much of.
Okay, Chief, go. Let's go.
You like a dripping mustard?
I'm a mustard fiend, so there's really never been a time where I said, that's too much mustard. But I understand that it's not a it's a potent flavor.
Yeah. Oh,
I just so happen
down,
my
bro.
Buds, my taste buds really appreciate that flavor. Load them up. Mustard me. If you see me, mustard me.
I like about a 50-cent piece just smashed over the burger, right?
Yeah.
But not a, a
an overwhelming yeah. to where all I'm tasting is mustard.
You get a heartburn.
Yeah.
I agree. Number 9 is Mickey D's. And even acknowledge, I thought I was going to have McDonald's higher on the list when everything was said and done.
Good.
But after weighing it against the rest of the competition, had to put it near the bottom.
I mean, BK stomps Mickey D's.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy,
In terms of just a plain cheeseburger, I would agree. It's a better
product. But we're talking about the double quarter pounder with cheese.
Stomps it.
He's talking about just a regular cheeseburger for this.
Okay, if you're doing
not your double UPC.
That's like, okay. That's their JV burger. That's their value burger.
That's how we're evening the playing field here.
All right.
You know, just trying to keep, because White Castle, which comes in at number 8, they don't have anything comparable to a QPC.
That's like eating like a Sliders. White Castle's
those are tiny.
Sliders, yeah.
White Castle is good, though, I will say. But good Lord, wherever you're going to bring, like, you get the Crave case, which is really all I've ever done because I've only had it twice in my life, and it was like the only opportunity to get it. No, not at all. In fact, I threw away a good chunk of them because, again, with the wife, and she can't eat them, and my friends totally wussed out on consuming them either. They got too hammered and passed out. And then the morning the next day, I was with my buddy Jared, the guy who sharts on couches.
Yeah.
And he doesn't eat leftovers.
That
wow, so
that,
he does style.
He that
does
have onion a couple smell is standards a little rough.
That was a fresh drop he left on your plate.
It was. He consumed the ramen and it went right onto the couch.
That's
afterwards.
Right. It was ramen.
That's what happened. But yeah, it does. It smells up the room.
It does smell up
it
the
really
room.
It really stinks. Number 7 is Wendy's, which I know you will advocate for. Brian.
I love a Wendy's.
Yeah,
yes.
Wendy's.
Single with cheese.
I think Wendy's is underrated. I really do. In terms of just overall fast food game.
Yeah.
Their nuggets are good. The chicken sandos are good. Wendy's is fire.
People talk about their chili and I don't see it.
I was told by somebody that worked at Wendy's, don't get the chili.
Okay.
God knows
you.
What's in
thank
that chili.
Well, if you like fingers.
Mm-hmm. 6 is Sonic.
You remember the finger in the chili story?
I think Sonic's burger game has improved, though.
Has it? Okay, I've had it.
I used to be with you. Yeah. I used to be like, I'm not. No, thank you. But I think Sonic has upped their burger game in recent years.
Dude, Sonic. Okay, I'm here for the Sonic burger.
I am too. I am Dawson, totally why do you not like the
Supersonic
Sonic
cheeseburger?
I guess I had it a long time ago and just ruled it out, but I need to try it again.
Okay.
Number 5 is Hardee's or Carl's Jr., which I can't say I'm very familiar with.
Charbroiled.
I've had the Carl's Jr. when we were in California. Right down the road from where we stayed.
Yeah, they do have a bunch there.
Yeah.
Number 4 is the Whataburger. Comes in at 4 on the list.
Is that just a straight number 1?
Just a regular, whatever the Whataburger cheeseburger
is. Yeah, okay.
3 is Culver's. Culver's comes in at 3.
Yeah. Wouldn't know.
Never had one.
I think the thing about Culver's too is they use...
Get in there, man.
They don't use just the basic like white onion. They use like good like red onions, which I think is a staple on any good legit burger.
You can tell... Yes. Everything there is fresh. I think it's upped to your other fast food standards. And the Butterburger is also very, very good.
Yeah. Have you ever had a Burger Street burger there, Eric?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah,
dude.
They got the onions like that, too.
Burger Street.
Yeah.
And they got the grease that hits the elbow.
They do. And Burger Street's
so
reasonably priced, too.
I'll grab those. They're by my house. I'll grab some for Friday then.
Burger Street's delicious.
What kind do we order? Just the All American?
Run of the mill. Yeah, the patriotic burger.
Okay.
Put a bacon on there.
Bacon on yours, Lucius?
Some extra mayo.
You got it.
Extra mayo.
Okay, got it.
What is the sloppy Lou?
I'll take orders tomorrow for burgers for Friday because it's right by my house.
Number 2, we've got In-N-Out.
Hmm.
But number 1, in an upset, big time upset, best fast food burger according to the Tool Man, Steak and Shake.
Oh, I think they're using like
steak
as
no,
their
they are
steak
they are.
Burgers that feature they their are. Patties made with premium cuts like
he's not,
sirloin,
he's
the
not
sirloin
lying.
And T-bone that are he's, never frozen once prepared.
He's not lying.
The original smash burger.
I can't tell you the last time I had a Steak and Shake, so I can't.
At the
crap
combine,
on
we lived on them.
Loser.
3 in the morning, you see the who's who of the National Football League at Steak and Shake.
So
delicious. Well, thank you, Wolf Chuck.
And Brahms is fantastic, 214. Maybe you just didn't try Brahms.
Brahms is good.
Yeah. Well, it's that's a good point because I was thinking they're a little bit more regional.
Oklahoma and Texas.
When's
really
the last time you had a Brahms burger?
Yeah. I brought some
ago.
In, didn't I? One
couple
time,
months
Lucius?
Ago.
Didn't I bring in some? A
couple of months ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it was just the one burger I had from Brahms recently.
Not bueno?
It just didn't quite curl for me.
Oh, no.
So did y'all switch up something?
Oh.
That's a good question.
It's been a while for me.
DQ, you guys been hitting up DQ
now.
Burgers at all?
DQ?
Get the belt buster.
I'm going to tell you what, DQ tacos, not bad.
I steak finger that thing every day.
Yeah, the gravy,
Makes sense. But their burgers are pretty solid, too.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. Okay, did the Eagles lose a big-time ingredient to their special sauce? And what's Micah Parsons' reaction to the increased salary cap that was announced today? That's coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation, the fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. And thanks to the guys downstairs watching the front door. I went down there to get some water because our water filter thingy is broken. Freezing. I said, man, it feels like 40 degrees down here, to the security guy. He said, I wish. It is, it's quite a winter blast down there. And even though you have a front door and
the sun's out now too, but that helps. But some of the coldest days I ever remember in Green Bay, sun out, no clouds. Those are the coldest days ever because there's nothing to hold the heat in. The clouds just can hold some heat in there. But man, days like this, but
I guess it is warming up. 24 degrees
now. Yeah, nice to see the sun.
31 tomorrow, 36 Friday, and then back to normalcy and 72 on Tuesday.
It's going to be like 85 Beautiful. When we're in Arizona.
All right, football's finest is coming up at 5 o'clock here. this is a C-note, Cowboys news of the evening. Micah Parsons' reaction on Twitter was a simple LFG, which, of course, as I taught my soccer players, means let's freaking go. It was his reaction to the NFL salary cap being up $22 million this year. I have to imagine that means at least another mil or two for him, maybe four or five mil. So that's pretty sweet. Ed Werder tweeting, good time to be the best young pass rusher in the NFL. Yeah. And then another story going viral. Todd Archer says the Cowboys absolutely can sign Micah early and would be wise to. Do you think that the Cowboys have seen the light on this and they're going to get something done? Or are we going to drag this out over the next 2 years, Brian? Maybe three, franchise tag and all that.
I don't know if it's seen the light, but I think they have a plan for what they would like to do. I know everybody's laughing right now as they say planning Dallas Cowboys. They don't. There we go. I knew that was coming. There we go. But with Micah, I think the willingness of him to, like, listen, he's like, he's anxious of getting it done. David Mulugeta is, like, generally pretty good to, I mean, he's a very aggressive agent as far as, well, he wants to get things done. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they took the news. They probably had an idea. A lot of teams had an idea. I don't know if they expected it to be this much, but, you know, good for them. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's seen the light, but I think there's a possibility here. I really do.
I just think that all the deals that they've done early have been so team friendly, and I think they need to compromise on that.
Yeah. Well, this one might not be friendly, but it might be less than what they, you know.
Yeah, if the cap's going up.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Especially with an edge who's an athlete edge, not necessarily a great technique edge or hardworking edge. He's just, you know, an amazing football player. I don't know how long that's going to hold up. Does that go into your 30s? I want to get this deal done, right? And have him hitting the end of it at age 28 or 29 instead of 31 or 32. I just think there's so many advantages to it. OC Clayton Adams, we talked quite a bit about what he said, you know, yesterday about the overall scheme. But reflecting on Cooper Beebe specifically, who he coached in college and helped recruit, makes it seem like the offensive line assignments are fluid. He says, you know, one of the best things about BB is the versatility. Two-time All-American at Kansas State, but started games at every position. Says that versatility has given us a great opportunity to find the best fit for everybody up front. Where is Cooper Beebe's best fit, and how do you approach that? Do you just draft the best offensive lineman if he's the top player on your board, and they're so versatile and flexible now that they can make anything work?
I love the idea, and we workshopped this last week, and I got to give you a lot of credit for this. Brian was like bringing up, hey, do you think Zabel from North Dakota State could play center?
Yeah.
And then I asked around. Dan Brugler is going to join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Was like, what do you think about Zabel playing center? He said, I think he's the best center in the draft. If he was there at 44, and that's a guy that's played tackle and guard as well, so he's got position flexibility. If the Cowboys scout him up and evaluate him as, yep, that's a center, and you can move Cooper Beebe back to his natural spot, where I do think his best spot is guard.
Is it right guard in particular?
He played left guard at K-State. Okay. But I think he could easily slide over and play right guard. I mean, Zach Martin, I think, was playing left tackle at Notre Dame and then played right guard. So, I mean, that transition's different for everybody.
Yeah, we're starting to see Gray Zabel's name, though, went in the first round.
No. Yeah. Now you're yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah's mock had him going, and 18, 19.
Yeah, and Nick Harris today, we were on the break on DallasCowboys.com, and Derek Eagleton asked, give me a player that the Cowboys should look at. And Nick Harris said, I'm going to trade back, and I'm trading back to 24. I'm taking Gray Zabel, mm-hmm. the offensive lineman from North Dakota State.
I love what Nick's doing there.
Yeah.
I'd be all in on that, because now you've got a center. Now I'm filling my guard spot. You're not having to move Tyler Smith. And I get it. Like, are we sure on Guyton? No. But I think that we do need to recalibrate what our expectations were and really what the player was. And that was a traits guy that hadn't played. He started 1 year of college football. He wasn't ready to transition like the other guys were. It didn't work out. But he's a guy that has a lot of talent. He had a new coach. They're not going to quit on a first-round pick after 1 year. So that is going to be your starting left tackle, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I get it. I think if you want to win now, you should go get a veteran and let him develop. You know, if he's a traits guy with a projection, have him practice, have him be your swing tackle. Terrence Steele is hurt quite a bit. You can put him at right tackle. Sure. Meanwhile, tight end coach Linda Wells might have won, or is he assistant quality control or something like that?
But no, he's tight ends coach.
Tight ends coach.
Yeah.
He might have won, like, Jerry guy of the day. Said he has profound love for the organization. A lot of people gave us flack for not playing in that last game, but they do it the right way inside and out. The Jones family did a phenomenal job of hiring the coaches. We got a familiar face in Shoddy. It takes in consideration outside of my family life. So he loves being here. Do you think, other than salary cap management and meddling with the coach at times, usurping his authority, that you would call this a model organization? You worked inside of it, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, what's Linda talking about there? Because I don't think any fan would say it's a great franchise inside and out at this point.
Well, I think there's some elements to it. I think there's some things when you, the thing that I appreciated about it, I appreciate being on that stage. I appreciated where that team was as far as, you know, with where it was in, like, the world and the understanding of what it meant to a lot of people around the world. I didn't always appreciate how it was run in the way of, there are things that I know with personnel, there's things that I saw that I would have absolutely done differently, you know, but I was too young, too stupid, too loud mouth. You know, should have bided my time, should have kind of talked through things.
Were you a loose cannon?
I think I was.
Wow.
I think I was. I think that I pissed a lot of people off over there. And because I was always like, you can't do it this way. You can't do it this way. You can't.
Well, you came from Green Bay. You had the blueprint. They wouldn't listen to you.
No, but I, you know, to me, it was like there were things that got changed and there are things that weren't. And I always hated the fact of, like, that you would battle your ass off to try and get something going the right direction, only to be taken out by a phone call.
Hmm.
I hated that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's some things that I think Will has done a really good job of taking things that we struggled with in the early 2000s and made them a lot better today. That maybe if you worked in the organization and that side of the building, the personnel side, it would be, you would be like Linda Wells. You would feel, you know, good about some of the things you're doing. But I know that there were so many times where I would go home just completely frustrated. They're like, we're never going to go anywhere. We're not going to do this. We're not doing it the right way, you know, and I should have just kept my damn mouth shut, but I didn't. And I think.
Well, we thank you for your sacrifice. At least you tried your ass off.
No, it's tough because you wanted to do things. You'd seen it done the right way.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing it this way? And it didn't make sense for me. And since then,
they simplified that process, organized it better.
I think that Will McClay has been godsend to that organization as far as bringing everybody together on what needs to be done.
All right. I teased this Eagles angle on the Saints OC hire. Chief, do you have that in the finest coming up, or do I need to pay it off real quick?
Pay that thing off, man.
Okay.
Pay your damn debt.
Saints hired TJ Paginetti, Eagles run game specialist, assistant O-line coach last season, makes him the first coach Kellen Moore has brought over from the previous team. The promotion to potentially run game coordination was a promotion because Nick Sirianni wouldn't let him leave, but he's primarily focused on O-line since 2017. I know Stoutland gets a lot of the credit up there, but this was like his right-hand man and has been known for developing those offensive linemen. So
that's promising if you're a Saints fan.
Yeah, and I guess if you're a Cowboys fan, too.
That's a good call, stealing something from the Eagles there. But, Kellen Moore, he's not the guy that has been the mastermind behind great rushing attacks.
No.
That is for sure. So taking something from Philadelphia to try and keep that as much of a smooth transition as possible, dude, that's probably a good pickup.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll have a smooth transition from G-Bag Nation to the final of the Four Nations, USA and Canada, on the Fan tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That football's finest coming up next, Chief. Where are we going?
Yeah, we have a championship flex for the ages, plus we have exclusive sound from a Cowboys legend next here in the Nation.